We were married 6 or 7 months, so we've practically been together since the day we met. Well, I'm Karen McVeigh. Good morning, and hallelujah. What a beautiful, warm place this is this morning. And I just get so jazzed up. I just can't contain myself on a, when you get that kind of music in your soul early in the morning. I love it. I love it. Well, I was told by two people they wanted to hear my testimony. You're probably not going to get all that. My story's long and sordid, and so I thought I'd Google. Well, first of all, I was asked to do this, but then I was sort of the standby, so whenever there's a slot that opened up. And so I found out yesterday at 4 and p.m. So that's cool. That's what I am. I'm great caulk. That's what I find myself being. Like, stick me in there for a while, I'll wear out, but it'll, you know, hold up for the moment. So I'm your caulk for this morning. But so I Googled what's a good framework for testimony. And it said, talk about what happened before, talk about now. I said, well, okay, I can narrow that down. So before I was here, I was born and baptized in a drive-in theater, just like this. In Memphis, Tennessee, there was another church plant, Christ United Methodist Church. It was a great, growing and thriving church in the middle part of Tennessee that my parents attended. And then we moved to New Orleans, and I attended St. Matthew's United Methodist Church there with my mom, who taught Sunday school. And so I was, when I went to my grandmother's house, we went to Rebecca Memorial United Methodist Church. So I didn't really know how to worship any other way. But when we moved to Fort Walton, we were down a few people, and my dad was not interested in organized religion. And so we went on base to the Protestant service, which was great. Nobody there expected us. If we weren't there, it was fine. And if we weren't there, it was fine. And he liked that. And it worked out all right. I mean, we got our dose of religion occasionally. And I really enjoyed my time with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was not an athlete, but there were boys there, and so I went. And a lot of them came to church here, and so a lot of the time I would tag on at this church or tag on at other youth groups in the community. Went off to college, and I came back, and I longed to have that personal relationship with a church. I liked this church. It was the closest Methodist church to my house, sort of. We lived in Kenwood, so it's a toss-up there. But anyway, I was more familiar with the programs at Shalimar. Not super familiar, don't get me wrong. I was not a regular. But so I showed up with my friend, who is a longtime Shalimar attendee, member, and I probably sat over there in that pew. Wasn't it on that side? We differ. He says I was on this side. I said I was on that side. I probably was on both sides. I didn't have a spot yet. But after a couple of Sundays, I decided I was going to join because I'd kind of already decided anyway. I was tired of my fast life of college, and I was ready to slow down and, you know, do the right thing. I didn't know doing the right thing was going to involve marrying the pastor. But it was. That was like so far off the radar. It blew the church's mind, the community's mind, my family's mind. People were whispering in the hallways, you know, should he really marry her? I'm sure that's what they were saying. I would have said it. I don't hold any judgment against anybody. I just said, I was probably saying it. Should I marry him? I really don't qualify. Which leads me to my next point. People tell me that there's a lot of responsibility to be the pastor's wife. Is there really? Is it any more responsibility than any other Christian has? I was naive enough to believe that. And I still am. I'm grateful. Praise God. I made a little list here of some of the things that I feel like church people expect from their pastor's wife. You expect us to attend church. You don't like it when you don't see us. You like us to sing in the choir or to play the piano or coordinate children's ministries or be a member of the United Methodist Women or be everybody's ideal Christian, a beacon, a person to look to aspire to. And I just fell short. I mean, if I am nothing, I am myself. And so I came to Philip and I said, as we were discussing marriage, I said, I don't qualify. I fall so short of all that. I can't play the piano. I can't remember her name at Pryor Middle School was the last time I had sang in a group. So I didn't play the piano. Did I say that? I really don't play the piano. And Philip said the words that I have stood on my whole marriage in this role as a pastor and as a human being, be yourself. Be yourself. And today's scripture is don't worry. Don't worry what the person in the pew next to you is thinking or fasting or doing. Because what you're doing is you're building your relationship with God. This vertical alignment is way more than the horizontal alignment. Okay? So just be yourself. The Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says don't fret. Instead of worrying, pray. And that's what you've been doing for 18 days. You're almost done. And look at the great leaps and bounds you've made from the beginning to now, and your vertical alignment is more in tune, and you can stand a little taller because you know in God's eyes, you are perfect just the way you are. He made you, and that's what I told myself when I became the pastor's wife. Well, He made this mess. I am made in the image of God, and as you are, and so here I stand. When I look in the mirror, sometimes my reflection looks a little bit more like Jesus, and sometimes it's kind of muddy and messed up, and that's okay. Because He knows the whole time I'm working toward building that relationship. I've been building this relationship for 33 years, and I've been building my relationship with the Lord earnestly for about that same amount of time. Because it was shortly after we met, we got married. And then he went on an Emmaus walk, and I went on the Emmaus walk right after his. I think it was 15, or was it 17? I went on 17, he went on 15. Anyway, whatever. It was a really long time ago. And I stood there in front of that group of people, and I confessed that I had no idea what I was doing. And I was standing in Shalimar United Methodist Church Sanctuary Sunday in and Sunday out. I had no idea who the Holy Spirit was. And at that little Blue Lake camp, I realized my full relationship with Christ after I became the preacher's wife. How imperfect is that? You have all kind of room to grow. I am not your ideal. I am a human being longing to be what Christ sees in me. I'm just trying to follow the path. And if you, as a person or people or individuals, look at other people and persons and individuals and you say that they're an imperfect Christian, hallelujah, because we all are. We all are. We are all working to not stand in the judgment of each other, to just grow in our faith, because we only know where we are. You don't know where I am, and I don't know where you are in your walk, and praise God that you are here this morning working on it, right? I mean, 18 days. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. 18 degrees. Is that what you said? Look, he's not allowed to do that. You should sit next to me in church sometime, because when he's preaching, I'm like, oh, if I could just say my piece. And he's got a microphone. It's so unfair. One day, I really want you to mic me up during a sermon. I'm going to sit through 8 o'clock and then 9:30 and 11 o'clock when he preaches. I'm going to be like, that's not true. Meet me in the narthex. I'll tell you the other side of that story. Most recently, and I think he shared this, he talked about how the church brought us a bunch of salt. I'm like, I walked up to him afterwards, and I'm like, no, dear, no. What lame church would pound people with multiple boxes of salt? This is not what you did. Do not feel bad about it. You did not buy us a bunch of salt. I bought salt to decorate because we were living in Montgomery, Alabama, and we didn't have sand. So I put it at the bottom of the hurricane lanterns and stuck a candle in it, and he thought y'all brought it to us for a gift. And he told you so in a sermon. That's what I'm saying. I need a microphone. Opposites attract. Well, because I have to go to work, my tardy bell rings at 6:45. And I am a talker, and I could go on, and I've gone off script 100 times. You have no idea how short this was a second ago, and now it's just I'm starting to get off. I need to reel myself in before I get too crazy. But I want to say this before I go. Philip McVeigh is the reason that my relationship with Christ is deeper. You can't live with him and not come in contact with the Holy Spirit. You just can't. And I live with him in all my imperfections. He is so much better than I am. As a human being, as a compassionate person, as a person who offers mercy and grace, he's genuine. He is the real deal. You get what you get with him. You don't get any pretense. It's a fact. He has been faithful to this fasting and praying. I didn't even know he was going to fast the first time. That's how he is. He just does things because he feels led to do them. He stands in this sanctuary. Did you know that? And he walks the sanctuary and he prays to the Lord about how he can lead this church. Sometimes people have said, well, I looked for him and I couldn't find him, but there he was in the prayer room on his work day. Wouldn't you like to have a job? I'm sorry, kids, I'll be right back. No, I'm going to go to the prayer room because y'all are. But all through the fast, when I wasn't fasting, because he's fasted a lot, he doesn't get put out with my desire to go out to eat. We go to eat and he figures it out, or he just doesn't use it as an excuse. It's just so genuine and so perfect and so beautiful. And I think that I'm so grateful that I've had the opportunity to be led by this pastor for so many years, because he is so faithful to what God's calling him to do. Every church we've been at, it's been different. It has. It's not the same stuff. We don't do the same things. The same sermons. I did for the fun of it last night, multiply, and the number I came up with was 1700, but I'm figuring how many times did I double up? Like, man, when we were at Cokesbury, I was going 8, 11, 12, 3, 7, I don't know how many times you had worship there, but I liked staying there because my kids were there, and I just, you know, they'd drop them off, and I'd end up going to worship. I think I probably heard about 2,000 of your sermons. Can I get a hallelujah? Honestly, they're not always the same. I do hear some things differently, but good thing I have a bad memory, so it just all is fresh every time. Anyway, I'm grateful for you. I appreciate you. I think this church appreciates what you're doing for them. And you never get the praise or the applause. You know, every time somebody comes off the stage after they speak, they get an applause. But we never applause Brian or Faith. You think about that. Go clap for them every once in a while. They need the encouragement. Or Brad. Sorry, Pastor Brad. So I'm going to leave you with this prayer. It's not the whole thing for you pastors. I chopped it up, messed it up, made it my own. It's the breastplate of St. Patrick of Ireland's prayer, and I pray this, and I pray it with you and for you, and I pray it for myself, because I just love the words. Anyway, I chopped it up, and I only am going to pray the parts that are not ugly, because he kind of talks about some other kind of death and dying things. I chopped all that out. I made it pretty for us. And it goes like this. I bind to myself today God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, and God's host to secure me. Christ, protect me today that I may receive an abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ within me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me.